It's Monday, April 5th, 2021. I'm Cameron Weir, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. On Saturday, former President Donald Trump called for a boycott of Major League Baseball after the league pulled its All-Star game from Atlanta due to Georgia's new restrictive voting laws. For Trump, boycotting the sport is completely on brand, since we know how little he likes anyone with balls. Florida has declared a state of emergency over a reservoir of radioactive wastewater which is leaking and could fully collapse at any time and flood the Tampa area with poisonous waste. Let's see you top that one, spring breakers! President Biden has come out in favor of providing COVID-19 vaccines to undocumented immigrants. Now, this is one decision the former guy probably won't challenge, since it'll cut down on the likelihood of all the Mar-a-Lago staff giving members coronavirus. A new Russian poll found that Vladimir Putin is Russia's sexiest man. This is obviously true, as anyone who ever accidentally fell out of a window in Russia could tell you, had they not accidentally fallen out of a window. Godzilla vs. Kong earned about $48.5 million in the U.S. last week, which is the strongest box office performance of the pandemic by far, proving that Americans are eager to return to the movies, or at least to watch giant CGI monsters beat each other up. A prayer vigil for critically ill rapper DMX was planned for this afternoon outside his home in New York. This will finally bring an answer to DMX's question, "Where my dogs at?" They're outside your house, D. In an interview with InStyle magazine, Ben Affleck complimented the beauty of his former fiancée, Jennifer Lopez, by saying, "Where are you keeping the fountain of youth?" Well, Ben, if that youth fountain is hard to find, J-Lo must be hiding it next to every DVD copy of your movie collaboration, Gigli. For the first time ever, actors of color swept all four film acting categories at the 2021 Screen Actors Guild Awards. What makes this even more impressive is that it happened without even one threat to boycott of the awards. Man, that's progress! Embattled former movie mogul Harvey Weinstein has appealed his sex crimes conviction because he feels that the judge in the case did not offer him a fair trial. Although appeals are well within his rights, most legal analysts predict that this is just another attempt for Weinstein to jerk around. The legal system, that is. In Sunday's episode of American Idol, Katy Perry revealed that she stopped shaving her legs since becoming a mom, proving that in just over a decade, Katy went from someone who kissed a girl and liked it to being a girl you kiss and go, not so much. Now, let's send it over to tonight's Team My Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an all-new week of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
I hope everybody had a really nice Easter. Okay. Just wanted to say that, okay?
Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts. There's a lot of days today, so let's go through them. National Nebraska Day. Happy National Flash Drive Day. For all my Trekkers, it's First Contact Day. National Raisin and Spice Bar Day. And you know what? It's National Deep Dish Pizza Day, so I want to do a shout-out to my favorite L.A. deep dish place, Gino's East. They have this Italian beef, sweet pepper, and giardiniera pizza that's fantastic.
Ooh, and I'd also like to give a shout out to my favorite Chicago deep dish pizza. If you're listening and you live in Chicago, Connie's Pizza. Chris.
Shoot, I wish I had a pizza shout out. That was that was everything. I mean, I was like trying to write some shits down. I was like, where is this again? What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. We made it. I don't know if anybody got crucified over the weekend, but hey, if you did, good.
No. The crucifixion happened. the Easter is when he rose.
All right.
The crucifixion happened last
Friday.
Week.
Yeah, yeah. Before. Yeah, yeah.
So if you rose from the dead Sunday, you know? If you had a really rough Saturday night, many people probably have.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people got drunk on the Saturday before Easter, which is weird. I don't know why people do that. It's like, hey, we're about to celebrate Jesus. Let's
have this conversation now before all the telenovela people start listening later.
Thank God our fans in Pakistan aren't that Catholic.
Hey.
We don't want to lose our Mexican audience.
In Mexico, Italy, we're really just probably most of our media is already stopped Italy because of the Garden Jazz. Yeah.
When I sent the jokes to Cameron today, he read the Katy Perry joke about her not shaving her legs. He says, "You know, this will offend all of our fans in France." I said, "That's fine. As long as Pakistan's not mad, I'm okay."
Pakistan's our core audience.
Number 24, baby.
California girls are really fuzzy.
Okay, so let's start tonight's show. It was another big news weekend, so let's start tonight's show with just one question, in which I ask you one question about some of the top stories from today. President Biden says that undocumented immigrants should be offered the COVID-19 vaccine. My question is this a smart humanitarian decision or something that will give foreigners even more incentive to try and enter the country illegally? Let's start with you, Joe.
Listen, it's more for our health. They're going to be intermingling with our population, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. I'm just saying that it will happen. So let's get them vaccinated so that we are safe. We have our own population safe. That's my take on it.
Okay, Chris.
So my thing is, I'm kind of what Joe was saying. Like, it is it's more of a thing for us as people who already live here, because at the end of the day, they're already in the country. So unless we're like sending them back to where they came from immediately, they're going to be in the country for a while they're going through the process and possibly becoming citizens here or being able to work here or being sent to where they're going. So we might as well send them off where they can go somewhere and not like be attacked by the coronavirus. So I think that's actually a really good humanitarian thing, and you know, it's a good political move too, because it just makes him seem like he's just gives a shit about people, which is not what we've been experiencing for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like saying an incentive for them to come, these people are not going to come just to get a COVID
vaccine. Yeah, they're already here. There's no incentive.
People are coming. Think, wow, let's try to cross illegally so I can get that vaccine.
The incentive for them to be here is the country itself, like, so the freedoms that we have and all this other stuff, and them getting away from oppression and political oppression and shit like that. Like, that's why they're coming here. Ain't got nothing to do with no goddamn shot. If that were the case, they would have been coming here for fucking the flu vaccine, fucking SARS, all that other shit that was going on around the world.
Yeah, and I definitely, I agree with both of you. It's to protect everybody.
Yeah.
Pete?
Well, I mean, I think that the reality of this is that they can both be true, because neither one of them is mutually exclusive. You know, it's true that it's a smart thing for the country to do, to vaccinate everybody who happens to be in the country, because, you know, regardless of what your standing is, whether you're a citizen, you're here legally as a resident, or you're here illegally as an undocumented resident, you're still interacting with people who are in this country.
Yeah.
And so yeah, you're going to, you know, you're going to put people at risk if you have COVID and you're not, you know, vaccinated for it. Now, that being said, it's also probably true that there was already a lot of incentives for a lot of people to cross the border to come here. And this is just another added incentive. And the problem that you're going to see is that the people who are not fans of Biden, whether that be Republicans or people just in general that aren't fans of Biden, they're going to use this as an excuse and say, oh no, they're taking away, now it's instead of taking away jobs, they're taking away vaccinations from people, which like the other day they had basically destroyed 1 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because it was out and they didn't have the people to give it to. And so, you know, it's just more political theater, and it'll be more that you'll hear about. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with doing it, but there will be the consequence that even more people, if there wasn't already, there's going to be even more people that will say, let me get the hell into the United States.
But there's just like so many layers to this. You know, I mean, like one of the things I've said about this virus is that this virus does not discriminate. And that's what I think a lot of people don't seem to understand. You know, like, but what, you know, Joe and Chris both said, yes, you know, if you vaccinate them, they're going to be in contact with other people, and you're essentially protecting human lives. That's what it all comes down to. But I think a lot of people are going to politicize it, you know, like what you're saying. And Joe, let me hear what you have to say.
Is it really an incentive, though? Or is someone in Mexico going, you know, I wasn't going to go across the border. I know my family's starving and I don't have a job and my opportunities are over there. But now that I can get a vaccine, yeah, now we're going to take we're going to risk our lives. No, that's not the incentive. No. It's a nice little cherry on the top,
sure,
but it's not an incentive. And second thing, this is just proof that most of the Republicans don't believe their own bullshit. Because if the vaccine really is a chip, a microchip that Bill Gates put in us, you would think that they would want to microchip the illegals and know
great
where they are.
Point. Great fucking
so,
point.
So now I know that you don't believe your own bullshit, guys.
God damn, that's so funny. That's true.
Yeah, isn't it just ironic that we are potentially going to have an argument about people who aren't from this country getting the vaccination when there's a big chunk of the people making that argument who are telling their people don't get the vaccination?
Right.
Such
an asinine argument.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, why don't all of you get the vaccinations and shut the fuck up?
How about all you anti-maskers that won't take the vaccine, we'll take your vaccine and give it to an illegal, and then that'll blow their mind. They'll be like, what the hell?
Well, right, but isn't that the wild thing? It's like they're the same people that are like, oh, you know, they're giving them to immigrants, and that's fucked up. Are the same people who are like, don't take it? It's a mind control, or it's like
because that's saying they're like, don't give that stuff. They're illegals and all that. Okay, so let's give it to our people here in the U.S. No, that's socialism. What?
Right. Yeah, but you know there's going to be that one story that Fox News, Breitbart, whoever, they're going to dig down till they find that one story of the one undocumented person who happened to get a vaccine before an American citizen. Yeah, and
that's always going to be because there's a whole bunch of American citizens that don't want to get it.
Yeah.
For all sorts of crazy reasons.
Yeah, and they'll just demonize people more because what we need to be doing now is making people angrier at people of ethnicity, because that's what really works here in the United States, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I mean, look, I have my own take on illegal immigration. It's a personal thing. But one of the things that I can say is these people that are coming here, I don't know if you guys saw the story last week. Somebody dropped a child over the border wall, like a child. Imagine the desperation that you have to feel to do something like that.
You
can't even do that to a dog. I mean, it just, you know, and I'm not saying that dogs are the same as children, but right. That's my point. You know, it's like, so to me, it's like, you know, people that are risking everything, you know, to come here. And then on top of that, it's like, okay, you know, you're here. But also, we also have to remember there's a difference between being illegal and undocumented too, because I know people who are still waiting to get their papers and they're paying into the taxes. They are paying taxes. So those people absolutely deserve to get the vaccine. And that's what a lot of people, you know, they equate the two things and it's not the same thing. You know, people are still, you know, paying attorneys to get their paperwork in order to get their green cards. And, you know, I mean, I can tell my cleaning lady, you know, she's one of them. She pays taxes every single year.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing I always think of too, is like, and not to like get too meta or whatever, but like at the end of the day, all these people preaching about like illegals and all this other shit, like, hey, guess what? Everybody here is illegal, because I don't know if you remember our history, but I'm pretty sure this country wasn't ours and we just like killed everybody and then was like, hey, this is ours now. So maybe take it easy on the
mad at anybody in Arizona or California that yells at the guy says, go back where you came from. It's like, no, this is where they came from. This all used to be Mexico, dude.
You go back, motherfucker.
Don't get me started.
Right.
Go back to where you came from.
I'm the only Mexican on this panel tonight, so technically I'm the only legal.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I mean. You know, like
the rest of us better get out of here.
Yeah.
Pete, is that why you married me for the papers?
No, I married you so I could stay in the state.
Okay.
Hey, Pete, you're like way more illegal than Veronica.
I would love it if someday someone went through the paperwork and realized that, like, we signed the wrong thing and this is all still Mexico.
Oh man, I would laugh my ass off. I'd be like, hey, guess what? Y'all speak Spanish, motherfuckers.
So a new Russian poll found Vladimir Putin to be Russia's sexiest man. So my question to you gentlemen tonight is, instead of questioning whether Putin is the sexiest man in Russia, I have even more questions if he's even the sexiest man in politics. So if it's not Vlad, then who is the sexiest male politician? I'm going to start. This is on the only people on the panel. Justin Trudeau. There, I said it.
That's fair.
Trudeau. Okay, guys, who do you think is the sexiest male politician? Pete.
I was going to go with Trudeau, too, because he is quite a fox. But Macron is a pretty good-looking man, too.
He's
good-looking. I mean, you know, I don't know who's running Italy these days, but they're usually pretty decent-looking. But Vladimir Putin. I mean, you know what? I looked at a bunch of pictures. As a younger man, Vladimir Putin was not a terrible looking man, although a murderer, which is always not a good thing. Like, it's kind of like those women that were into Ted Bundy. Like, yeah, he might have killed a lot of people, but he's also pretty decent looking. You know, it's like, yeah, I guess. I mean, like, there's a wonderful picture of him with his shirt off on screen right now. And, he is kind of dreamy. Right.
Yeah. Hey, young Putin was young Putin's kind of handsome. I see that. All right.
So I actually went and looked some stuff up earlier, and I'm still going to stand by this. There's a mayor in Brazil. His name is Eduardo Leite, I think. It's L-E-I-T. Let me get his spelling. But Veronica, look this guy up. Okay. L-E-I-T-E. Eduardo Leite, I think it is. He is a mayor from Brazil. I think that guy's probably the hottest politician. I mean, as far as male politicians go.
It's not the injury attorney? No.
No. Look up Brazil mayor.
Brazil mayor, okay.
He's the mayor of Pelotas.
How do you spell his last name?
L-E-I-T-E.
Leite. Eduardo Leite. Leite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, hello.
All right. Not bad, right?
Not bad at all. No.
he is the like, you look at him, he's like, that guy's not a politician.
Yeah, he does.
That's a guy who hung out, like, he hung out with Matt Gaetz like 20 years ago. Like, that's what he looks like now.
That guy's a mouthpiece at best. Like,
he didn't have to have a platform. He just put his picture around going, vote.
Yeah. And they were like, okay, yes. Okay.
But since, you know, like, it's, you know, is it wrong for me to pick someone female in politics for myself? So like a woman in politics? Because I
got him up on the screen, by the way, just so
my brain is fried. But who's our current press secretary? What's her name?
Oh, Saki.
Yeah, I like her a lot. I think she's really cute. And I like that she's feisty. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a big fan of redheads, so.
Yeah,
I also want to add somebody that I know some of us on the panel are not very, like, big fans of his, but I have to say it. Our governor, Newsom.
Gavin Newsom is one handsome devil.
He is.
Oh, my God. Look up the picture with him and his wife lying on the rug. Go look up the Gavin Newsom rug.
You know, I'm going to end up getting all these weird recommendations after this.
Your search history is about to be all fucked up. Yeah, not bad, though.
Yeah, he's dreamy.
Here, I'm going to pull this up for you real quick.
I'm trying to find it as well.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna bring it up.
Bring it up. Let me see that shit.
Hold on, I got to just pull
it. He's a fox, like my husband says.
That picture is like straight out of like 1987 GQ. It is just, he's not even wearing socks. It is just hilarious.
Like
the only thing that's missing is like a picture of a rose and a brandy snifter behind him.
There you go. I'm bringing it up right now. Hold on.
That hair of his, it's just, he's fine.
There it is. Look at that picture. That's our governor, people.
That's our governor.
Yeah. I don't know who your governor is, but they're shit compared to ours.
Yeah, he ain't gonna.
Governor, so sorry.
I mean, I'm glad.
The most affable governor in the country.
I'm glad that other governors are former governors. Can you try, like Mark DeSantis trying to pull that one off, or even worse, can you imagine like a Chris Christie trying to pull a Burt Reynolds?
Well, he's definitely no Larry Hogan from Maryland.
Yeah, well, people might want to recall him, but he is sure fine. Okay, so Godzilla versus Kong beat out industry expert.
Hey, I didn't get to say mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, yes.
Wow,
I'm so
that's
sorry.
Fucked up, Veronica.
I know.
What about me?
No inclusion, man.
Sorry.
I like men. Stop.
I apologize, Chris. You think you're the sexiest politician because I really want to hear your pick.
Well, it's
we may have to cancel you now, Veronica. Oh, that's our subject later.
Yes. You know what? Wow, look at that. Wow, look at them laying on the rug right there. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, you know what? I might have to put that in the running. You know who, honestly, I guess I got to say this because there's a part of me that's like, rep for my home team. Rick Perry, actually a pretty good looking guy. Governor Rick Perry, former governor. He's an idiot, but he's good looking. If you look him up, he's good looking. Of course, Obama, right?
Yeah.
Of course, Kennedy, good looking dude. And you know what? I'm going to say this, and I know people may not agree, but like, I think for at the time period that when he was the governor and he was still pretty young, Arnold Schwarzenegger, pretty good looking dude.
Hmm.
You know, yeah, as far as a politician goes.
W. Bush, always a handsome man, too.
Yeah, he was a good-looking dude. I mean, you know, especially young Schwarzenegger. I mean, like, you know, you go back to his, like, 20, 25 days, he was probably slaying all the ladies, you know what I mean?
No, at least the housekeepers.
At least? No! No! Hey, but you know what, though? But the thing is, you gotta appreciate the fact that like what Arnold Schwarzenegger looks like, and then what the housekeeper looked like, and then you look at the son, he actually turned out pretty good with those two mixed as a DNA. He turned out pretty, yeah. He's a handsome guy.
You know, the thing is though, like after that whole story broke, you know, there was just a lot of women that were like, "See, I could have gotten him." Like, you know, and it's like the minute,
bro, you're not the
infidelity thing goes out the window as soon as you realize you're hotter than the maid was.
Yo, that's real talk. Like that's funny, man, because that is like part of the whole prestige of like people being celebrities and things of that nature. Like they're unattainable. Well, that's why you know, like desire them. But like after that, you're like, oh, I got a chance.
You know, Chris has a point because the Kennedy family as a whole had a lot of really attractive politicians, and technically Arnold was a part of that, so
hey, I'm in there, I'm weaving it in.
You know, it's so funny when you mention Arnold, I forget he was a politician. Like when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. He was a politician. Yeah,
you remember him saying, I'm a politician.
I mean, truth be told, you know, if it wasn't, it sucks that he's from another country because I wouldn't mind seeing him try to run for president, you know what I mean?
I'll be back if you reelect me.
He probably would have fucking won just off of his movie career alone. Like real talk. Cause it's like, it would be also one of those things kind of how like some people kind of jokingly voted for Trump. And they're like, oh, he's not gonna, there's no way he's gonna, you know what I mean? And I feel like people would have did the same thing for Schwarzenegger. And then when he got sworn in, we'd have been like, oh shit. We didn't know this was going to happen.
Okay. Chris, are you finished?
I'm done. That's it. I got it. That's on my list. That's it.
I don't want to step on your toes.
Nah, we're good. We got it. We're good.
Good, okay.
Yeah, I got to go back to thinking about girls now.
Here tomorrow now, right?
Don't cancel.
I got to start thinking about females now.
Godzilla versus Kong beat out industry expectation by bringing in nearly $49 million at the U.S. box office this weekend, which was more than 2019's Godzilla King of the Monsters brought in, which was when we weren't in a pandemic. So my question to you tonight is this a good sign for movie theaters or just a reaction of the first blockbuster coming out as COVID restrictions are loosened? So what do you guys think? Pete?
Well, I kind of want to go back to what we were talking about earlier about people coming across the border to kind of make my analogy here. Okay. You know, it's,
wait, are you trying to say illegal immigrants are coming for King Kong and Godzilla?
Okay,
so we weren't gonna come over, but you know, free vaccines and Kong versus Godzilla.
No, off the wall.
Now.
You're just begging me to come over now.
Here's my thought on this. Analysts thought that this movie was only going to make about $30 million because of the fact that it was on HBO Max, and also a lot of people weren't going to go to the theaters. It blew away that with almost $19 million more. And I think the reason why is if you look at the same excuses people were saying about why people started crossing the border after Biden got elected, well, they started crossing the border because things were less shitty than they were, you know, a week earlier than that. So that's why people started crossing the border. Why are people going to see Godzilla versus Kong? Because things are less shitty than they were a few days before this. And so that's, I mean, it would, whatever the first blockbuster film that came out would have been a bigger thing than it would have been had it not been for the pandemic, I think.
Well, also taking into account it was a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
I was at the drive-in for this, and it was packed. Yeah. And I'm surprised because this is a movie that if you have HBO Max, you can see it. Yeah. But people still wanted to go out, you know. But it's also a movie that it really needs to be on the big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting that in that way. So, in the grand scheme of things, $48 million wasn't a ton of money, you know, from what we used to have. But, you know, it's a different world. So,
well, that's so funny, though, because, like, now it's like if you look at it like how TV is, like, back in the day, if you told somebody that they had like 10 million views, they would be like, oh, this show sucks. It's getting canceled. But now you say 10 million viewers for an episode, that's a successful show. And that's kind of the same thing we're looking at right now with theaters. Like, 30 million, that ain't shit for what, or for an opening weekend. Like, back in the, like, that would, if this movie compared to how much it costs to make, and you told me the opening weekend was 30 million, that's a box office bomb. But now we're talking about it as like the most successful thing because nobody's been in theaters forever.
Yeah, but I think that they're like if you saw any of the reports this morning, because like I watched a couple of things on like CNBC about analysts upgrading the what they think the futures are for like AMC and for some of the other and Regal and some of the other chains because of how well this did. And again, I just think that this is like, you know what, to me, my first thought is if you've been sitting in traffic, dead stop traffic for like an hour, and then all of a sudden the traffic, you know, breaks up, everybody's going to hit the gas and drive really fast.
Oh, hell yeah. Facts.
So you know, there's more people thinking that okay, COVID isn't such a big deal now, which it still is, and which is still, you know, between this and like there was almost 40,000 people at the Texas Rangers game tonight. There's going to be more COVID, no matter how many people are getting injections. There's going to be more COVID, but people think that there's not going to be. So hey, look, a big, you know, $200 million movies in the at the movie theater. My movie theaters are open again. Yeah, I'm going to go to the movie. That's where the logic is with a lot of people. That doesn't mean that like a month and a half from now or 2 months from now, when whatever the next big blockbuster is that comes out, that it's going to get the same reaction. When there's two or three of them at the same time, we're probably going to see how much the box office is really worth, you know, at that point, because it's just because that's when it'll be like, okay, been there, done that. Now what do I do?
Well, let me ask you this, Pete, since we were talking about blockbusters. Now, recently it was just announced that Black Widow, which is probably going to be the next big blockbuster to come out, it got pushed back to July now. Do you think the numbers are going to be higher? Because, you know, Disney's doing the thing where, you know, you can still see it in theaters, but you also got to pay for it on Disney Plus and the premiere thing. Yeah. So you think the numbers are going to be different for that movie?
Well, see, I think that the whole Disney, what Disney is doing with the Disney Plus, it's they're putting their foot in the water. They're testing the waters, because the reality of it is, Disney, you know, within the next year or so, I think we talked about this last week, they're going to buy theaters. They're going to be buying a bunch of theaters, and they're going to probably, because of Disney's history, they're going to limit who else can get the films once they own the theaters in the town. And so when they're owning the theaters and they own Disney Plus, the thought is, well, it doesn't really matter if we're making money at a theater or if we're making money on our streaming service. We're going to make money either way. So I think to them, this is more like a test. Let's see how well it does, you know, both ways, because we could have our, you know, our cake and eat it too, because, you know, there's going to be this group of people that are going to want to go back to movie theaters to see movies like this. And there's going to be other people that are going to say, you know what, I haven't been on movie theater in a year. I don't miss it as much as I used to, but I do miss those movies. So I'll pay the $30, and me and my five or six friends, family members, whatever, will all get to see this movie, whereas it would have been two people that would have been able to go see it in the theater. So I think Disney, for sure, this is just a test. I don't think there's any thought in the world that Disney's not going to do this long term at some point in the near future, you know. And it's like, and again, you see these other companies like Paramount that are saying, oh, they're going to now have a 45-day window between a movie release and the day it hits the streaming services. That's going to change. That'll go down to 30 days, because 30 days is a good number, because most films have a 3 or 4 week window at best anyway.
That's true.
And like I said last week, this is also a test for Disney, because up until now, that $30 pay window has always been with like Disney type movies where someone is going to pay for it and their whole family is going to watch it. Now, Black Widow comes along, and there's a lot of people that are singles that are watch this, or people that are, you know, younger and don't really have families. And they're like, are they going to pay the $30? Who are they going to let into their bubble to see this movie? at home, or are you going to go to the theater to see it? So that's all part of the experiment. And also, another thing that Disney's going to do is, because we here in LA, we actually have a Disney-owned theater. It's the El Capitan, that right here in Hollywood, down the street from me. What they'll also do is they'll have incentives to go to the theater. Like they have special souvenirs and buckets and pre-shows and things like that. That's like, if you want that whole full experience, you'll go to the theater and get all those little extras, you know. The El Cap even has, like, they'll put, like, if you go downstairs, you can see all the costumes from the movie.
That's my favorite part, watching movies there, the memorabilia and stuff.
Right, yeah. And memorabilia and whatnot. And so they'll be doing that in other towns as they buy up these other theaters and do stuff like that. So that's going to be Disney's other thing. So, yeah, you can see it at home, pay the $30 and see it at home. But if you really want the full experience, come to the theater. So Disney's going to get you both ways. Well, yeah. Disney gets you whatever. Let me figure it. If Disney can figure out a way to get money out of your wallet, they're doing it.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, this isn't so different than the reason why the government outlawed studios having theaters in the first place. Because they had the ability, if they owned the film, to do all kinds of deals that you couldn't do if the theater chain didn't own the film. And so, yeah, there might be other theaters that can get a Disney movie in like 2 years from now. But maybe, you know, you're paying $16 to go see the movie in one of those theaters. But at the Disney theater, you're paying $10. Or 12, or you're getting something, you're getting memorabilia from the film, you're getting gift cards, you're getting kinds of stuff that, like, all kinds of like tchotchke type things that you can't get anywhere else because it's a Disney movie. And again, it's a very smart strategy by Disney. And you know what? The problem is, you know, companies can only do what a market will bear. And if the market is willing to just keep shelling money out to Disney, they're going to keep taking it. Nobody's ever going to say, oh, no, I don't want all this extra money from you. So you can't even get mad at them for it. It's good business.
Oh, it's totally Disney. If Disney can figure out how to get like the people in the costumes like Pluto or whatnot to do pickpocketing, they'll do it.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Okay. So last night, sorry about that.
Was that a drum roll?
No, it was not.
I didn't know we could do drum
rolls. Just got the button for their team.
The joke's that much better.
Sorry about that. Okay. Last night, for the first time in its history, all four major acting categories at the SAG Awards went to people of color, such as Chadwick Boseman and Viola Davis. They won for the best lead actor and actress in a motion picture for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, while Daniel Kaluuya won Best Supporting Actor for Judas and the Black Messiah, and Ju Young Young won Best Supporting Actress for Minari. My question is this a sign of Hollywood making efforts for more inclusion, or just a really good year for actors of color? Pete, let's start with you.
See, in another world, like if we didn't have a couple of years ago when the year after the Oscars So White controversy, that all of a sudden like Moonlight won and there was a couple of other black actors that won. I can't even remember. I know Mahershala Ali won, won Best Supporting Actor. I forgot somebody else won that year too. Viola Davis. But then the next year it just went back to normal. It's the same thing with this. It's like this was just a good year. You know, mostly because of the fact that COVID limited what films were getting released, and all those films were getting released mostly to streaming services, that you were going to see more actors that would not have been, you know, in the films that were pushed for Academy Awards in other years, be pushed out there. And sadly, one group that always gets pushed into that category are people of color. I mean, a movie like Minari probably doesn't exist if Parasite didn't do well last year. And it definitely doesn't do well in at the box office if not for that. Well, it didn't have a box office, so this is a perfect place for it. You're not, traditionally you don't see films that are predominantly all like with all black casts like Judas and the Black Messiah do well with Oscars, because again, it's just never been one of the things that they do. But this year, it just, those films happened to get a lot of traction, and they were great actors in it, great writers, great directors, and they got nominated. Let's talk about this next year and see what it looks like, you know, when they do the Oscars and all the different awards next year, because that'll be the real telltale.
Hey, Joe.
I also like to point out, This wasn't the Oscars. The SAG Awards. No, I'm not saying anything bad because I agreed with everybody that they picked. I still say Chadwick Boseman in Ma Rainey was fantastic. I was blown away by it when I first saw it. But it's the SAG Awards, and if I asked somebody on the street in 10 days from now who won the SAG Awards, they're not going to know. I mean, it all goes down to who everyone always talks about. We've forgotten who won the Golden Globes probably already. But we'll remember next year who won the Oscar. Pete just said who a couple years ago who won the Oscar, and we knew. So that's still what it's going to go down to. I hope that it's different, and I hope that Oscars can keep the streaming rule. They probably won't after a while, but that's what's really helping with the awards anyway. Keep that streaming rule, but we'll see. We got a couple more. What we got? When's the Oscars this year?
Late this month.
Yeah. Because we did 31 days of Oscars is on TCM right now. They got some great movies. But yeah, let's roll this back around when the Oscars happen and see what's up.
Okay, Chris, did you want to add something?
I was going to say that I do think that I think part of it is the fact that I think there is some politics involved and things of that nature because of what we've been through socially in the past year, you know, with the events that have occurred. But I also think it was just a great year for people of color. There's a lot of good movies that have come out with actors that are amazing. So I think I look forward to the Oscars because I think that because of that. And also too, like, the pandemic kind of helped low key with getting eyes and views on these movies because, you know, I look at a movie like Judah and the Black Messiah. It's a great fucking movie and people should go see it. But if we were in regular times and people had options and all these other big, I mean, think about all the other big movies that came out right before that and things of that nature. So movies like this, if you look at Judah and the Black Messiah, that's almost kind of, it's a big budget movie, but it's also kind of the way that they market it and stuff like that. And you look at it, it could be looked at as like an independent film almost, you know what I mean? Or like an off, you know, yeah, you know, out of the big market films, you know what I mean? Like on the independent circuit. So films like that probably would have gotten overlooked if it wasn't for the pandemic. So that is I think that's probably the biggest factor in why, you know, there are more people of color winning these awards is because more eyes saw these movies than what would have if we weren't, you know, stuck in our houses watching TV all the time. And I think it's going to be this. And I think that's why, you know, we saw a lot of that too with, like, you know, when we were winning the Emmy Awards and stuff like that. You've seen a lot of people of color women winning those because more of those shows are being watched because people needed content and entertainment. And they're finally got the time to like sit down and watch stuff and not like the big things that are pushed into their face. You know what I mean? And also Marvel didn't take over the entire year with their content because that's usually what happens over the past years is everybody's going to see Marvel films.
Yeah, but if people go see Marvel films, but we always have what we call the awards baits or Oscar bait films. And yeah, Judas and the Black Messiah would have been one of those. I would have ended up going. I always go see the Oscar bait films because I like them. But yeah, I mean, that they don't get a lot of views in the theater, but that's not what they were built for. They were built to bring home awards for the studios. So, and that was, it still would have been out there. Like, but where you got like Ma Rainey, I think Minari probably would have been overlooked if it wasn't for this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would have been one that would have been on the awards radar otherwise.
Yeah. So although, like the sound,
let me ask you guys this question. Right. If it turns out that like the, you know, every year for the last two decades, the number of people going to the movie theaters has actually dropped. Let's say because of the pandemic, that drop is significant. Are we going to see less of those Oscar type films in theaters because theaters are going to try and maximize on the blockbuster films to make all their money? And will then that cause the Oscars to say, well, we have to keep the streaming services in the running?
Oh God, I hope.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's the smartest thing to do, especially if you're talking about like recouping money. Because how much money have these theaters lost being closed in the past year? You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, that's actually the smarter move because if you're trying to get, you know, a bunch of movies seen, and if, you know, like Joe was saying, like Oscar bait movies, the best way to see those movies are at home and you're like on your own time and not have to pay extra.
Those
the big blockbusters, people are going to see those anyway, like Kong versus, you know, Godzilla. you know, yes, they can see it at home, but those are also the kind of movies that people want to go out and see and be entertained. So I think it'd be a smart move to keep those in theaters and then watch the other stuff at home.
Sure, that's exactly what got eyes on them, because when their list came out, when like the Golden Globes one and stuff like that, then people were like, oh, I can see this on Netflix, on Hulu, on whatnot. I'm going to go watch it. Whereas like, were they going to pay $15 to see it in the theater? You know, they might pass on it. So it's actually going to get more eyes on independent movies. Yeah. On really good movies. And so, go to the big theater to see the Marvel movie. But hey, if it gets more people to see a movie that's really, really good, but really, really small, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I mean, people need to remember that, like, theaters in New York and even LA were open 2 weeks ago when Minari and Nomadland were out, and nobody was rushing to the box office to see those movies.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, they really have to kind of keep that in mind and offer these films to the streaming services right away.
Okay, so let's move on to our main story tonight. On the surface, we have a scandal involving a high-profile conservative politician under investigation for sex with a minor, and another scandal involving Los Angeles's Theater Alliance bowing to pressure and shutting down because an actor's name was mispronounced and her image replaced with another actor's at an award ceremony. Seem to have nothing in common, and it's true, they don't have any relevance together. What they do share is a need for crisis management and response as of today. Those responses could not be more different. We thought that tonight we might take a look at both controversies and see how differently liberals and conservatives deal with scandal. So let's start with the scandal involving Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Who wants to talk about the investigation into Matt Gaetz for those that don't know what's going on? Pete.
Well, I mean, it's actually really, you know, interesting. And I don't know anybody who doesn't know all this stuff yet, but I'll just regurgitate it really quickly. Last week, the New York Times leaked the story that back in December, William Barr, you know, Trump's attorney general, approved an investigation into Matt Gaetz. Because they were under the impression that he may have dated and had sex a minor who he brought across state lines, which is a federal crime. And it was apparently brought to Barr twice before he left office, and both times Barr with information that they'd found, and both times Barr proved pushing it forward. Now, since it leaked, what's happened is Gaetz has come out and said, oh no, this is a lie, that it's all based on me being extorted for $25 million by some guy who wanted to claim that I was dating somebody underage, which is all, it's conflating two different stories. Yes, he was somebody he knew is actually not just an under investigation, but under indictment. A good friend of his named Joel Greenberg is under indictment because he was basically paying underage women to have sex with him and his friends. And Gaetz is one of his friends, been one of his friends for several years. I think he was a tax collector in the upper part of Florida where Gaetz is from. And so this guy has already been under indictment, and which is funny because he's under indictment, but he was at the White House twice while Trump was still there.
But didn't Matt Gaetz take this guy to the White
House? Yeah, he took him to the White House. So this whole thing happens. Gaetz swears he didn't do it. Nobody on the Republican side is saying a word. There's only three people that have come out in defense of him, and it's Jim Jordan, who was also under investigation not too long ago for looking the other way when he was a coach at Ohio State, because the wrestling coach had apparently raped a bunch of boys on the team, and he supposedly knew about it but never said anything. Marjorie Taylor Greene, pretty much self-explanatory. And the third person is, oh gosh, who is the third person? Now I just went blank. Well, maybe it's just two people.
Was it Ted Cruz?
No. Oh. Ted Cruz hasn't touched this in a million years. In fact, not one Republican has come out against him. The closest thing they got was Kevin McCarthy said, well, you know, they'll do the investigation. And if it turns out to be to be true. That well, then we'll deal with it then. So he left it. He was incredibly noncommittal about it. But no one is saying anything about it on there. So which is really interesting, because a couple of years back, and I mean to jump stories here because we're going to talk about the liberal side later, Al Franken basically got run out of the Senate because there was pictures of him, you know, messing around with a Playboy playmate who he was doing a tour with. And not messing around in the sense of like doing anything to her, but just the pictures seemed a little hinky at the time, even though they probably were posed by her and him at the same time. But yeah, they ran him out of Senate, and I can only imagine if it was a Democratic politician who was potentially involved with underage girls, that this would not be going the same way. Yeah, and what's funny is that even according to a lot of these reports, Republicans have been saying for months, you know, in quiet, that they've been waiting for a scandal about Matt Gaetz, because he's so disliked and does so many things that are out of the norm. Like apparently he shows people on the floor of the Congress pictures of naked women that he claims to have had sex with.
And doesn't he like play a game or something like that? Like,
He had a game. They had a game on how hot women were. They him and this guy Greenberg, they have text they have a voicemail message to a woman who was a reporter in I want to say in Florida, where they're calling her up to tell her how cute she is. It's like the trail is getting bigger and bigger, and every day it's coming out more. Like, he's changed the story multiple times. It's just a really messed up story, but it's a great story if you don't like Matt Gaetz.
So it's pretty much fair to say that, you know, the playbook for conservatives is to keep their mouths shut in regards to scandals of their own people. I mean, is that correct to say, you know, based on what you just said, Pete?
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be, I mean, they did it with Donald Trump. They did it with Jim Jordan. You know, now they're doing it with Matt Gaetz as well. Joe.
It's funny you mentioned Pete mentioned that, because I think today I was just reading that Marjorie Taylor Greene has vetted her Twitter to get rid of all of the pictures and whatnot and all that of Matt Gaetz, because some people pulled up some old ones after she's gotten rid of them. So even she's like trying to cut him out of the system. You know, it's not just being shut up. Something that the right loves to do is to do something called deflect and then put out a false narrative and say the false narrative enough that people believe it, which is really funny because that is an old Russian propaganda tactic for people that hate communism so much, they sure love to play the playbook from them. So I always know that there's either a new Matt Gaetz story or a new Republican story out when everyone starts screaming about Hunter Biden, because that's their right now. That's their go-to deflection. So I was the other day when Hunter Biden was all over their feeds this weekend, because obviously they were punching down on Matt Gaetz. Well, what they'll do is they'll come up with a false narrative and just start saying it over and over and over again. And then people start believing it, because we saw the other news that came out this weekend is that, 60% of Republicans think that it was a peaceful protest during the Capitol riots. Yeah. And or they, you know, it's just like they're believing everything that's being said, because that's all that they keep being told. Yeah. So I think that's a bit crazy.
You know, that's so interesting that you really quick. Let me just jump in real quick. So, Joe, sometimes I do go on these conservative sites to see, you know, what they're reporting and what the other side is reading. And Hunter Biden was everywhere.
But to be fair, it probably has more to do with the fact that he put out a book last week. So they probably were just digging through the book and trying to find things.
Oh, is that where they got the story?
Yeah, his book came out last Tuesday.
Oh, so, I didn't know that. Okay.
So that might have had more to do with it. But no, what they're doing is, like, the people that are talking at all, which is really very few, what they're saying is, well, look at Cuomo in New York. Yeah, yeah. Look at Cuomo, who's denying all the things that may have happened. And maybe he did all these things. Nobody's saying he didn't. But every Democratic politician has said, get out. And he's just said no to it.
Yeah.
So it's not the same thing.
The Republican side was doing that same thing because the 60 Minutes thing on DeSantis. And right away they say, oh, but what about Cuomo? See, right away, whenever you see the but what about, they're not answering the question. They're deflecting it somewhere else. Guess what? That's from Russian propaganda in the 30s and 40s, people. That's exactly where it's from. That's exactly where they learned it. They don't like communism, but they sure love to play their playbook. They really do. They yeah. don't answer the question. They say, but what about this?
Exactly. And that's so typical of like the Trump culture too. You know, it was just all about the whataboutism.
Yeah.
So now I want to go on. So now we just talked about Matt Gaetz, what's happening with him. So I want to take a look now at a lesser known scandal that has taken over the Los Angeles theater community. And I think, you know, we kind of tend to forget sometimes that we are part of the theater community first and foremost. So this story is actually very interesting. Last Tuesday, the Los Angeles Stage Alliance streamed their annual Ovation Awards, which celebrates theater here in Los Angeles. Does anyone know what happened that caused such a backlash? Joe, let's start with you.
So they were having an awards, and then one of the I think that they were streaming or whatnot, but
they were streamed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and one of the actors that was put up was an Asian actor, and they mispronounced the name and then put up the wrong picture of them, which very much smacks of the. And I'm saying this because this is where it came from a lot of where people say, where someone says, oh, you know, they all look the same to me, which is bull crap. But that's what it smacks of. And it just really drove people, really got outraged by the whole thing. And that created a whole super bee's nest.
Mm-hmm. Pete, do you want to add to that?
Well, you know, that's Joe kind of had this essence of the actual story, but the story is actually a little bit more convoluted. Firstly, they streamed the awards on Tuesday. The actual awards took place last weekend. So what happened was there was a company that put together the whole streaming for them. By the way, if you're a company looking for streaming, come call us because we actually do this and it's a business that we have and we won't fuck up anybody's name, but that's a whole other story.
You screw up our names. What are you talking about?
No, but when it comes to this, we won't do that. I'll be really careful when it comes to this.
We're getting paid. We don't do that.
But yeah, but we're getting paid.
Ask Vanessa.
So, yeah, okay, I'm sorry. If you're not married to me, I won't screw up your name. So now the thing is, this happened, but what's kind of missing from the story is that there was about a dozen people whose names were mispronounced or pictures were put up, you know, wrongly. It wasn't just this woman, Julie Lee. Who this happened to. She just happened to be the first. And also because of all the violence against Asian Americans right now, it seems more hypersensitive. So the story happens the next day after it airs. She's like, to her credit, to Julie Lee's credit, she actually came out and said, yeah, my name was mispronounced and they put the wrong actor's picture up there, but it happened to over a dozen people. So they have to be better at this. That's all she basically said. She didn't complain. She didn't have any outrage. But what happened from that point on was that it also came out that, that the company that produced the show that she was in is a company called East West Productions. They had been left out of the credits for the actual show and only the theater that
produced it. And they only gave credit to the other
theater. And they also did another show that the same thing happened to. So they started complaining saying, oh, well, you know what? This is a thing against Asian Americans. When the reality of it is, it's probably not a thing against Asian Americans. It's probably just a thing against really bad people working on your streaming services. But what happened then was, again, because liberals do have this habit of eating their own as quickly as humanly possible, all of these theater groups and all these theaters decided they were going to pull their membership out of the Los Angeles Stage Alliance, which has been in business for 46 years. And what they actually do, so that everybody knows, is that they not only promote theater in Los Angeles, but they're a resource for actors, writers, directors, people in production to learn the craft of doing stage work and also to try and find jobs for them. It's actually a really good resource, or it was until today. And once all these theater groups decided to pull out their involvement with them, they felt today that they had no way to continue without theaters, strangely enough. So they folded shop.
So the day after, before you continue, Pete, the day after they did apologize for the mistake and they promised to look at the issues and make changes. Now, when they decided, though, to, you know, to end the alliance, some people are criticizing them for disbanding instead of making an institutional changes and continuing. So they've been criticized for like disbanding this.
Yeah, which is great because it's kind of like a movie theater. Somebody telling a movie theater stay open when all the studios aren't going to send them movies anymore. It's an asinine argument, but it's an asinine argument based on a story that's not as relevant as people want to make it out to be. I don't think that, you know, look, I'll be honest with you. This morning when I saw Julie Lee's name, my first thought, because it's spelled J-U-L-L-Y, my first thought was it was Jolly. Now, I didn't know her name, so I had no reason to be, like, me saying Jolly was not me making a mistake because she's an Asian American. It's because spelling-wise in English, that's how it sounds. Literally, their mistake probably was more than anything else is they didn't write the stuff phonetically for the company that did the streaming for them, and that caused it. But again, there were several other actors whose names were mispronounced, and the pictures were put up incorrectly. This was not in a bubble. This wasn't one person. But again, because we have such liberal outrage towards everything, we have to cancel anything that gives us any pause for a second. And this was a perfect opportunity to, now we're going to get even with all the people that are doing stuff against Asian Americans by destroying an organization that kind of helps Asian American theater groups do shows. And I'm not just saying they just do Asian American shows. I'm saying in general, this organization, and I've never dealt with the Alliance. So I don't have any kind of I don't have any standing in this game at all. I'm not playing with any teams here, but it's like, You force a group out of existence because of a mistake that was a mistake across the board. Just tell them don't have a fucking award show again if that's what you want to do. But why? But like they all these groups had to like I thought jokingly last week when I started seeing all these other people doing it, I thought jokingly we should say TMI Hollywood stands with the community.
Well, that's how I found out about the story. Yeah. Remember, Pete? Some of our friends who are part of other theater communities started posting that they were going to be leaving the Alliance. And I just kept reading and reading up on this. And I said, what happened? And that's when I, decided to go into and investigate. And that's how we found out about it, was because of the outrage from everybody else.
Yeah. Is it wrong that they mispronounced her name and put up another Asian actress's picture on the screen? Yeah, it's wrong.
It's incompetent. Somebody clearly did not do their fucking job. Someone didn't care. They were sloppy, whatever you want to say.
But it's not. But it wasn't a race issue. And that's the problem. Because of the fact that we're having all these other problems, which are legitimately horrible problems, in the United States with Asian people being targeted now. Because I hate to say this because I'm about as liberal as you can get. But at the same time, there's a point where it's like, I mean, how much flesh do you need to take from somebody did they do anybody any favors by forcing this organization out of business today? Did one theater group, did one writer, actor, producer gain anything today by this by the Alliance going out of business today? I don't think so.
Well, but at the same time, though, people are saying that they shouldn't have disbanded.
Some people are saying it.
Some people are saying that. So it's like you can't win in either situation. Chris, yeah. You want to add something?
No, I was just going to say, I got to clear my throat. It seems like also to this kind of reaction to it is kind of low-key, like, something that they were trying to do anyway, because theaters have been shut down for so long and people are losing money, the theaters and things of that nature. So it also just seems like they were just trying to do this as a legitimate way to shut down things and not have people like being mad at them for shutting it down. They just like kind of using this as any old excuse. So I don't know. It just seems like way too big of a reaction for something relatively minor. I mean, I understand the disrespect there. I understand that. It's like when they had, Terry Crews' picture up talking about Samuel L. Jackson back in the day. Like, we knew that people fuck up, but I don't know if it's big enough to shut everything down. It just seems like they just needed an excuse.
It's kind of like, a few years ago, I brought this up to Veronica earlier. She said it's not the same thing. But a few years ago, when John Travolta said Idina Menzel's name wrong. Now, Idina Menzel, I looked it up. Her, you know, she has Russian ancestry. That's why her name, I guess, is a Russian name. Yeah. And so he called her Idina. And so now, if we were in today's climate, what happens then? Do we shut down the Motion Picture Academy because John Travolta said her name wrong?
Right.
You know, it's like.
But it's the climate that we're living in right now, you know, with all the hate, I think, against Asian Americans. And I think that's what's making this, you know, more sensitive.
This is the thing I don't understand. How does this help anybody? How does this help Asian Americans? How does this help anybody else? To force an organization out of business that has no history of racism towards Asian Americans.
Right.
You know, it's like it doesn't make any sense to me. And it's like, and when you think about it again, everyone on this screen benefits from like there being people out there that want to help you create more awareness for what you do as a performer, as a writer, as a producer. And now that the only organization in Los Angeles that does that no longer exists.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure there's more to this story that, you know, that we don't know about that's probably going to come out later on, or maybe we'll just never know. But again, it's just something that there might be more to it. I don't know. Joe.
It's funny because I'm thinking here that, and I don't know if this segues well into the next part of this discussion. But obviously, we're on two complete opposite ends over here. I know that these two stories really aren't related, but in a way they are. You know, this whole theater thing, we've taken it too far down one direction. The Matt Gaetz thing, I think they've taken it too far in the other direction. I think part of the problem with the Matt Gaetz side is that he thought he could get away with it because he knew that people aren't going to want to bring it up. They're just going to keep it silent. They're going to sweep it under the rug and not say anything. And that he can get away with it. On this side, we had a small mistake. Granted, you know, I feel for all of the actors and other people that they had their name mispronounced or they didn't have the right picture up in the award show. I really do feel for them. And there was no actual, you know, it was a mistake. But we don't, you know, maybe we should pull that back a little bit. We shouldn't be destroying a whole organization over what obviously was a couple, maybe one or two people's messed up. You know, those one or two people, that company that was doing the streaming for them, maybe those are the people we should be saying, hey, you guys screwed up, you know? So the whole thing is like, maybe we got to push a little bit towards both sides need to push a little bit towards the middle a little bit more, because that's, I think, a big problem is.
That's a great response to my final question, which was, which approach do you think is better? Or, you know, do you see a little bit of both? See, I was trying to see if there was, like, more to this story in terms of, like, if they had more history prior to this happening of racism. And I couldn't find any story. I mean, I really dug in deep. And I said, okay, maybe if they have had other instances, this was just like the final straw where people have to just call it out. But I couldn't find any information on that. Pete.
Well, I mean, to respond to that, I looked as well. And there's a lot of people claiming, oh, there was other things too. But if anybody who knows people in theater knows that people in theater talk more shit than any people on earth. That's so true. So it's like gossiping. It's like gossiping like old women. They, you know, oh, yeah, there's other stuff too. You just don't even know about the other stuff.
Yeah, it's stuff.
You know, this is where the difference is now. With the whole thing with the Alliance, the day after this happens, they immediately apologized. The next day on their Facebook, they apologized again. They apologized for a third, fourth, and fifth time on their social media over the next few days. And here's where things go crazy when it comes to liberals, is that the more you apologize, the more people try to go after you. you know, because the second, like we said this a couple of weeks ago, the minute you apologize is the minute you're done. But these guys apologize so many times that it almost got to a point where it was like, it's hunting season on them. Let's go after them. You know, and what it made me realize more than anything else is that the big difference between conservatives and liberals is that when a scandal happens with a conservative, they question, why is this a scandal? Whereas with a liberal, they question why somebody hasn't been punished for it already. Like, and that's the problem we're at. Like, I don't think people realize we're going to have a whole lot more Matt Gaetz than we're going to have theater alliances, you know, in the future, because we're going to keep canceling people that have done essentially, you know, just a fuck up. I mean, really, you know, like Joe was saying, you fire the people that screwed up. That's what you do. That's what any business does. You don't take complete blame for Asian American violence, because they basically became the poster child of how dare you do bad things to Asian Americans. And there are bad things being done to Asian Americans. And it's horrible. But the reality of it is, mispronouncing somebody's name and putting the wrong picture up did not do any of this. You fire those people. That's what you do. You get rid of them and you start fresh. But instead, we lose this organization. And again, I've never dealt with them, but I've been told that they were actually a very strong advocate for theater in Los Angeles. And now that doesn't exist. At the exact worst time to not have an advocate for theater in Los Angeles, because theater in Los Angeles isn't happening yet, because we've had a pandemic for a year. So now you've lost the only voice that can help you do that because of a mistake. But Matt Gaetz, he'll still be here in a month. And that's the difference. Like,
Republicans don't need their own.
Yeah. We have to realize that until we get to a point where, like Joe was kind of saying, meeting in the middle. Well, we have to get a little bit more adamant about being less apologetic, and Republicans have to be a lot more apologetic to meet somewhere in the middle, because that's the only way this is ever going to work. And that's why it's never going to happen. Trump is never going to admit that he lost the election. He's never going to admit that his people stormed the Capitol. Matt Gaetz is not going to admit that if he did anything with underage girls. But yes, somebody said the wrong name during an award show, and now you have to get rid of a 46-year-old business because of it. Yeah. It's stupid.
So Pete, we you and I have a friend, I don't want to say her name on the air, but a good friend of ours who gets nominated for the Ovation Awards. You know, she's had quite a few nominations. She's won quite a few times. I think it'd be interesting to get her perspective on that. She won't come talk to us like on air, but we'll definitely check in with her and ask her what she thinks about this. And she's a theater producer here in LA as well. So, yeah, I just thought of her right now. Okay, Joe, and then we're going to move on to our final segment. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm glad that we are going to end with this, because it's something I wanted to point out. A good friend of the show, of TMI, we're a former host many times, John Ennis. He has a theater called The Yard, and it needs some help right now too. So if you are really want to go out and help theater, savetheyard.com. And help try and save the Yard Theater.
Yeah. That's good to know. Okay, yes, and John Ennis, he's great. Over the weekend, we were saddened to hear that rapper DMX suffered a drug overdose-induced heart attack and is now in a vegetative state of life support. We thought that it would be nice to take some time to remember DMX and also to give the audience some information about him through a quiz called Y'all Don't Know D? Okay. So first, does anyone want to say anything about DMX?
Sad that he relapsed again, man. There's been many interviews where he was, you know, talking about his journey and getting over it. But, you know, it's just sad that, you know, he's still addicted to that messed up thing, man. You know, it's sad that he never got away from it. And it's sad that maybe he don't have the right people around him to help him stay away from it.
Yeah. Probably enablers. I mean, I hate to say
it. Yeah, that's the
that's problem. The hard part. I think, you know, whenever you see someone as talented as he, you know, as he is, and, you know, fighting, you know, drug addiction, you always have to question the people around you more than anything.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to add something? No? Okay, now I'm going to hand. Oh, Pete, did you want
to? No, I mean, I came from the club business, as I've said in the past, and I can say that, like, when some of those songs that are now kind of, as far as hip hop is concerned, are iconic now, you know, like Party Up and some of the other ones, What's My Name, like those songs would just get crowds crazy on the dance floor.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, clearly, you know, after spending a little time today looking into him, he's a very troubled person. I mean, there's obviously a lot of issues in his life, and, you know, you don't know how far they go back, whether it's to his childhood or whatever else. And we're not, none of us are psychologists to kind of figure it out, but he was, you know, clearly this was a man that's been on this destructive path for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely say, you know, it takes me back to my club days, you know, you hear a DMX song and you're out on that dance floor. So, yeah. Okay. So Pete, I'm going to hand it over to you now for tonight's quiz.
Okay. So I thought that what would be good was, you know, I didn't want to sit here and have us do like a whole thing about his life, because that kind of is morbid, and he's not dead yet. If he is going to die, I mean, they're saying they say he has no brain activity, so it's probably not very long.
Yeah.
From the be here. But I figured, you know, the best way for us to do things, because as we always do, is with a quiz. So we're going to do a quiz kind of like we did last week, where I'm going to ask you a question. If you could answer the question without me giving you multiple choice answers, you get 5 points. If not, I'll give the multiple choice question and everybody who gets it correct will get 1 point. So we've got 10 questions. So here's our first question. What is DMX's real name? Anybody? Anybody want to wait? Veronica?
Earl something.
Is that you?
You need first and last name?
Yes, you need his
name. Oh, sorry. I know it's Earl.
Earl Jackson. Earl.
Why you got to go with Jackson?
Because he's black. It's got to be Jackson. Or Johnson. Earl Johnson. That sounds like
so, okay. So then let's do this. Since Veronica and Veronica.
I know it.
Yes.
Is it Earl Simmons? Simon. No.
Wait, is that your answer, Simon Simmons?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You're correct. Not you wrong. Got that right. 5 points. Because I was going to do, if you couldn't answer it, I was going to say, is his name Earl Simmons, Earl Johnson, Earl Jackson, Earl Washington?
So it's not Kowalski, because I was going to pick Kowalski.
Talk about me. Those are very common. Washington, Johnson, Jackson, those are like three hardcore black names, last names, for sure.
Listen, you're the one with the idea in my head, because I had four other names. You just came up with
Williams, Jackson, Johnson.
Okay, so Veronica has 5 points.
All right, before you cancel us, Chris is black, everybody.
Yes, he is. Although from some of the things he chooses, you wouldn't know that. Okay, so our next question is, what music label is DMX a part of? Does anybody know?
Rough Riders, right? That's the name of it.
Is that your answer?
That's the only... Well, because he started his own label.
Wait, Would you rather me just ask the multiple choice question? So
yeah, go for it.
Okay, so here are our choices. It's either Columbia, Interscope, Def Jam, or G-Unit Records. So, Veronica, which one do you think it is?
I'm going to go with G-Unit.
Okay, Joe?
Interscope.
And Chris?
Yeah, Interscope.
Okay, well, you're all incorrect. It's actually Columbia Records.
Really?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And his imprint is Rough Rider, just so you know.
Right.
But it is Columbia.
That part I know.
Of DMX's first 5 albums, how many of them debuted number one on the Billboard charts? Anybody? Okay, well, let me give first you the 4
five,
choices.
3.
Is that your, is 3 your answer?
Yeah.
That's incorrect. Okay, so this question only goes to Veronica and to Joe. Is it 2, 3, well, that's not 3 now. It's 2, 4.
Yeah.
Is it 2, 4, or 5? Veronica.
I'm going to go with 2.
Joe?
4.
Okay, well, you're all incorrect again. It's 5. He became the first hip-hop artist to ever have 5 consecutive number one albums for his first 5 albums. Okay, here's a good one. What does DMX stand for? What does the name stand for? Does anybody know? Veronica.
Is it Dark Man X?
That's correct. Holy shit.
I read an article about him this weekend. So, yeah.
Hey, you got 10 points. You're kicking ass.
Were you the Danny of this episode, Veronica? What's going on?
DMX.
I always thought it was Bicycle Motocross.
Right now.
isn't it Bicycle Motocross?
That's BMX, Joe. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so in 2004, who did DMX impersonate at Kennedy Airport in New York? Anybody? Okay, so let me give you four choices. It was either 50 Cent, a DEA agent, Eddie Murphy, or an FBI agent. Veronica, who do you want to go with?
I want to say an FBI agent.
Okay, Joe?
DEA agent.
Chris.
Eddie Murphy.
Okay, well, one of you is correct. Veronica, you're rolling today. He impersonated an FBI agent, which got him arrested.
Which got him arrested when that happened.
Many times. Yeah. He got arrested. He said,
I know way too much about custom. DMX.
Yeah, why do you know so much about DMX? What's going on over there?
You know what? I'm sorry.
One of the creels?
I know DMX. What can I say?
She knows DMX like I know Korean boy PK from Pop.
Okay, we're moving on to question six. Question six. DMI has been imprisoned several times in his 51 years.
DMI?
I'm sorry, DMX. DMX. Sorry.
Well, you know what? We're not getting that theater gig.
We do this 5 days a week, kids.
We're not getting that theater gig.
Yes, and now I'm going to get canceled by like the Theater Alliance was. Okay, so DMX has been imprisoned several times in his 51 years, including 6 months for not paying child support. How many children does DMX actually have? Does anybody want to take a guess?
Five, like his albums.
How many?
Five, like his albums.
Is that your final answer?
That's my answer, yeah.
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Okay, so this one goes to just Veronica and Chris. Does he have 7 kids, 9 kids, 11 kids, or 15 kids?
I'm going to go 9.
Chris?
Born with 11.
Okay, well, you're all wrong. It's 15. He's God got 15 damn. Kids. Yes.
Damn.
DMX, in between making records and music, fucked a lot, apparently.
Apparently never heard
without,
of
it. Without production.
So. That's where he came up with What's My Name, because that's what the kids would be, because he'd forget. That's 15. I'd forget, too.
Turn him off.
Just so we know, this is not one woman who had 15 kids. Right. It's multiple women.
I kind of figured that out.
Yeah. I think Future's trying to beat him on that one. Future's already at like 9 kids right now.
Okay, so our next question. Tragedy has befallen DMX several times in his life. One of the worst tragedies was when his favorite pit bull was run over by a motorcyclist. What was the dog's name? Does anybody know? Okay, no guess. Okay, so let me give you three choices. The name of four choices. It's either Bone, Black, Boomer, or Bud. Bone, Black, Boomer, or Bud. Veronica.
Bone.
Joe.
Bone.
Chris.
I'm going to say Blood.
Blood's not one of the choices. You got Bone, Black, Boomer, or Bud.
Oh, Bud. I thought you said Blood. I was like, no, Bud. I was like, wait, what were the net choices again?
Bone, Black, Boomer, or Bud.
Black.
Well, see, you know, you guys are all wrong, and this is the one that threw me too, because I was like, there's no way DMX has a dog named Boomer, but he did, and it got run over.
Yeah, I thought he would probably like Bone, like, hey, this is
no, Bone. I figured it was Bone, because that's obviously something DMX likes to do, because so, he's got 15 kids, so I was like, yeah, that's one of my favorite things, Bone.
Well, apparently that didn't get run over by a motorcyclist. But Boomer did. Okay, so we're moving on. I mean, Veronica, unless they get the next three questions, unless somebody gets the 5 points, you've won this competition. This is question number 8. When thinking of DMX, we should be focusing on the good times. Like when his first single was released in 1993, what was the title of the single?
Rough Riders Anthem.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect.
You're a liar. You are a liar.
Does anybody else want to take a guess, or should I give you the other choices? Rough Riders Anthem was one of the choices, so we've got three now. Okay, so let me give them to you. The three choices are Born Loser, Where the Hood At, and X Gonna Give It Up to You. So one of those three songs was his first single. Born Loser, Where the Hood at, or X gonna give it up to you, Veronica?
I'm gonna go with Where the Hood at.
Joe.
X gonna give it up to you.
Wow, incredible! You guys are all wrong. It's Born Loser. Born Loser was his first.
Those are off of his third album.
And so okay, so nobody got any points on that one. So guys, if you want to catch Veronica, you got to get the 5 points on these next two questions. Shit. Which member of Rough Riders has been involved in the most hit singles? Which member of Rough Riders, the group that he was a part of, has been involved in the most hit singles? Anybody want to take a venture a guess?
I want to say, I'm throwing it out there. I'm going to say Eve.
Okay, that your final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry.
Why are you talking to me? What is going on?
I'm going to guess because I want to get the 5 points. I'm going to say Ed Sheeran.
So, Veronica, you could get a point here.
I'm going to give you the
choice. Your choices are, well, we've already said Eve, so that's out of the question now. The three choices left are Swizz Beatz, Jada Kiss, or DMX.
What was the
Which
question?
One of them has been involved in the most hit singles?
Swizz Beatz.
What?
Wait, what are the choices again?
The choices are Swizz Beatz, Jada Kiss, or DMX himself.
I'm going to go with Swizz Beatz.
Well, you're correct. Yeah. Swizz Beatz has actually been on 34 songs that were the top 100 songs, and he produced 64 songs that were top 100 songs. So he's been in the most hit singles.
I thought you were talking about like.
Not, that's why I said involved in. I didn't want to.
Yeah, I thought you meant inside the DMX's discography.
Okay, so here's our final question. Veronica, you've won, but here's our final question just for fun. DMX was a prolific actor as well as the baddest motherfucker on wax. What was the name of his first film? Chris?
Wait, first film. I want to say Cradle to the Grave.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
You are lying to me! Why are you doing this to me?
Okay, so Joe and Veronica.
Oh, no, wait, I got it. Wait, can I go one more time?
No, you can't. No, you can't have a second guess.
Veronica won anyway.
Let me have it, please, come on. Listen, I'll let you answer with everybody else with this.
No, I got it. I'm ready.
I'm not going to tell you if you're right.
Let me get the five. Let me get the five. She already won. Let me get the five. I know.
I already won. Just let him do it.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see.
His belly.
That's correct.
Do I get a point because I wasn't allowed to be involved in that question?
Well, if I had told you that it was either Romeo Must Die, Belly, or Exit Wounds, would you have gone with Belly, Joe?
Probably I would have gone with Belly. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, I'll give you the points in absentia since didn't get a chance to answer it.
I had to get one right. I was like, come on, give it to me.
So that's all true. Wrong. Yeah, Max. Well, let's hope he's still around longer to bark and do all that shit he does.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it, right?
Yeah, that is it. We're done.
All right. Well, that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night and stay safe.